All right, thank you everybody for being here. It is the Wednesday, February 1st, 2017, regular Planning Commission meeting. Call the meeting to order and ask Mr. Wong if we have a quorum.
Yes, you do.
Excellent, thank you. First up, we have approval of the agenda for this afternoon. Do I have a motion?
I move we approve the agenda for today.
Second.
Okay, motion and seconded, further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Agenda is approved. Next up, we have minutes from our January 18th meeting. Anyone's had a chance to take a look at these? Any comments, corrections, questions, addendums, other synonyms? Okay, seeing none, all accept a motion.
I move to approve the minutes of January 18th, 2017.
Second.
All right, motion and seconded, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Great, minutes are adopted. First up, we have our public comments section limited to 3 minutes per speaker and must pertain to items on the agenda. I see one person in the audience, and she will not be speaking. So I will quickly open and close the public comments section for tonight unless Steve wants to come up and offer his testimony. Good thing Dorian's
not. I decline.
All right, so let's move into our discussion items for this afternoon. First up, we have our airport compatibility overlay. Lauren.
All right.
Welcome.
Thank you. Oh, why am I looking over there going on the screen? Okay. So I'm going to be talking for only like 10 minutes, I promise. It'll be quick. About our action items from the joint land use study for JBLM. We have a small portion of the accident protection zone 2 in the southern part of our city. And so as a coordination item with several other jurisdictions, we've decided that we need to actually address that through some land use zoning changes. So part of our process will be a proposed amendment to the comp plan. So it'll be part of the amendments that you'll see later on this year. And it's based on recommendations out of the joint land use study, as I mentioned. And so that's the area here.
Lauren, do you have a better map that shows some of the streets? I can see, like, Prospect. Does it follow Oaks on the east side?
I think it's, like, 80th right here.
Yeah.
I don't have a better map.
Okay.
I might be able to pull one off the web that you can just see street names better. Would that help?
Looks like it's maybe somewhere between South Tacoma Way and South Puget
Sound.
Yeah,
South Tacoma Way is right here,
And then Oaks or Prospect on the other side.
Yeah. So it's probably
just beyond Fife, actually.
Some 25 blocks or something like that.
The big green thing in the middle is Oak Tree Park.
Covers most of
the yellow.
So just part of the kind of the regional status update, we've been meeting, I think Ian previously was going to those meetings, and Assistant City Manager Lozier has also been involved in that process. But we've been meeting with all the jurisdictions that are affected. And this is just kind of a slight update of where we are relative to other jurisdictions. We're doing pretty well, I think. And everyone else hasn't responded as of now, so we're kind of trying to coordinate our efforts and see where everyone is relative. But we've made changes to our comp plan already, so really the next phase is getting the zoning and code changes. So just in terms of precedence, I mean, we'll look at some of the work that Lakewood and Lacey have done because they're doing it currently, but really the document that most jurisdictions have been using and that I've been using, Island County. Actually, my boss in my previous position was there at the time, and he recommended looking at it, and they're also looking at it. It's really pretty good in terms of guidance with uses to consider not allowing and several other changes in that regard. Certainly been looking at that. So in terms of what our approach is going to be, for compatibility and safety in APZ 2. So restricting uses So obviously ones that call for large assembly of people or many people coming in and out is something that we're probably going to be wary of having. Another part of it is more process related, so increasing communication between Tacoma and JBLM. So whenever we have permits come in or whatever, we need to do a better job of noting their comments and all those things. So that's part of it. Consideration of limiting expansion to existing uses, potentially limiting density. We're not 100% clear on what the direction on that is, but certainly that's on the table. And then providing clear information to businesses, property, and homeowners. Something that that's happening outside of even Tacoma, the city of Tacoma, is there's been significant outreach to businesses that are thinking of coming into the area and ones that are thinking of expanding, and just doing a really clear job of educating them about what's potentially coming down the line and encouraging people to consider being someplace else other than certain crash zones. Less so in Tacoma, but it's certainly been happening in other jurisdictions, so it's just something to think about. So potential use limitations mentioned, things like churches, schools, potentially hotels, daycares, clinics, and hospitals, and then providing specific criteria for conditional use conditions. So could be applicable to all major revisions, redevelopment, new constructions. So as I go through filling out the assessment for the amendments, we'll be looking at if there should be exemptions, and then if we should restrict things based on density. So next steps, we'll have a defined proposal in the assessment report for the 2017-2018 amendments. Technical analysis will follow that, and then we'll come back in the winter to commission for full review of staff recommendations. Anyone have any thoughts, comments, questions?
Yes. On the potential use limitations, when you come back to us, can you give us an accounting of what's there?
Yes.
With regards to those uses? And then sure. Specifically with daycare and clinics, with daycare, I wanted to know if the intent is to exclude all daycare or if it's just daycare centers versus in-home, and what that kind of exclusion might, what kind of impact it might have on the community, because
sure.
It would require people to go farther for daycare.
Sure.
And then same with clinics and hospitals. Mm-hmm. If you don't have health clinics in the area, what is the impact going to be
sure.
on that area?
Yes. I have a couple of just quick comments. No final determination, certainly. But luckily, we're talking about a really pretty small land area. So as soon as we get outside of that, it would be back to normal. So that helps somewhat. It's not, mm-hmm. A really large area. From the research I've done up to now, there has been exclusions of in-house and sort of a more typical commercial model for daycare. And the same thing with hospitals and clinics, obviously, the thought being that if something were to happen and that were the location for that area and something goes down, then it limits what you can offer them to everyone else in the community for quite a long period of time. So. But we'll certainly provide an accounting of what's there, what it affects. Obviously, there's a school there and all those things, and I'd be happy to give a clear accounting of that.
Oh, and one other thing, churches, how would that be in noncompliance with the federal law that allows a church or house of worship to be anywhere?
And that's also part of the concern. And some of this stuff, too, just to be clear, I think some of it also could be handled through means other than code. So, this is something where we can pull in CED and all those things to help encourage people, too. So where we may not be able to actually mandate it, that we could create programs and information that just lets people know, like, hey, in future, this is something that we're trying to pursue and this is why. And again, it's such a small land area. I think we could probably make that case pretty well.
Couple questions.
Sure.
So on the boundaries, the first question I just had was, where did the boundaries come from? Is this like a decided area? And then could they be realigned to follow street corridors rather than cut parcels in half, or?
I actually don't know. I'm assuming it's based on analysis, based on flight paths and stuff, but I'm not 100% sure. Yeah.
Federal study.
Okay. It'd be good to know, just because, like, the boundaries are a little bit weird, and, for example, like, one big thing for this area of town, when I was in the neighborhood council, the west side of South Puget Sound from basically 74th up to 56th is a really hot topic of commercial encroachment. I know we dealt with that in the comp plan update, and I think we're, if I remember right, like, future is like R3 or something like that along that corridor rather than commercial. I don't know if you remember.
I think we had used the R4L as the transition there.
Is that part of the map? Is that part of the map cleanup process for this next year?
I can't say for certain. I'll get back to you.
I was just going to say one other thing on my understanding of the area. It's determined by federal studies. It's really a distance based on the end of the runway that they're studying. So that distance, you know, 3,000 feet or whatever the number is, falls wherever the heck it falls. There certainly is the option for us to expand it slightly to make our zone overlay more consistent with parcel boundaries. It might be a struggle to shrink it, but we're probably talking at very small amounts here of shift, in fact, so.
I'm just wondering on some of those ones where we have potential, like really on the fringe of it, like on South Puget Sound, where it's kind of cutting the frontage of parcels apart, planning for a little higher density. I'm just wondering, can we work with them at all on slightly adjusting it or trying to align it with street corridors rather than chopping up parcels? And,
like I said, we have flexibility on our side.
Yeah,
so if we don't want to say the front half of your parcel can be a church and the back half can't, or have weird statements like that made unnecessarily. That's certainly easy for us.
And you guys are thinking overlay?
Yeah, so I said the APZ is fixed, but we can certainly adjust the overlay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what does it do for existing uses, like Arlington School that got permitted, and we acknowledged in the permit decision that it's in the APZ, but does it make it nonconforming, or how?
It probably will, yeah. Yeah. So it's more sort of like a phase out and in future type of situation. We're not doing anything retroactively.
Are we thinking any kind of zoning changes at all, or is this just an overlay project?
I don't think so.
Overlay at this point, but I mean, the zoning actually is pretty consistent. It's not like we have a lot of high occupancy zoning areas. You know, it's not going over the downtown or anything, so there's no mixed-use centers in the area. There's nothing else obvious. Yeah. A lot of it's park. A lot of it's single-family zoning. It's actually pretty consistent already, so we're in pretty good shape. And I would say on the Arlington one, you know, I think that's one of those that looking back at some level, the school district might even think about that location a little bit differently had they known early on in their planning process the realities of being in that area. So.
The only one that I think about, like I mentioned South Puget Sound, but in the far southeast corner where I assume it's probably like an M1 zone out there off of 80th and Pine, where we have some pretty large warehouses and stuff. I just don't know if, what that changes, how that affects future TIs, because we do have a lot of vacant warehouse space in that area.
Mm-hmm.
The sports center that got permitted, I think it's been vacant for, I don't even know if it has a tenant now, but it'd be interesting to know, like, maybe analyze that, specifically that area, because most of this is just R1, right?
Yeah, most of it, but there is absolutely, it's kind of right by the kind of corridor where you have the car lots and stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, we do need to consider the business aspect. It touches enough business that it's something we have to look at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Car lots is a good thing to crash into.
I know, I was totally thinking. I mean,
I know.
Warehouse. It's kind of not ideal either, so.
Apologies for coming in late. Trying to juggle aspects of life. Two questions.
Yes.
And if you already said this in the presentation, just told me to talk to my colleagues. Is there any concern that this falls into the category of regulatory taking, that these property owners would have a claim against the federal government for this? And if so, has there been any discussion that this entire regulatory structure might be one that gets put on the chopping block by the new administration in D.C.?
Well, that's a really, hey, that's like, that's
well,
a
no, really I mean, on the second issue, it was just that whole thing, there's been the whole media discussion. I'm trying to be, he's just making it fun now.
Throwing out all sorts
this
of
is the first, hey, this is the first glass half full moment I've had since January 20th. So, but there was the issue that we read in the paper about, for that two regulations have to go away before any new regulation can be promulgated at the federal level. Is there, is
we
this,
don't have that rule locally.
Yeah, yeah. So, luckily we don't have that rule.
But is any of the history behind this more smoke than fire? That it would make it suspect to someone deciding that this doesn't need to be as big as it is.
Yeah. I mean, on your first question of regulatory takings, no, okay. There's no real concern about
right.
that.
Thank you.
The only, I think, interesting one is that probably the religious freedom yep. church one. That's probably the mm-hmm. most interesting legal question about can you realistically control from a certain area for good, legitimate reasons the church is locating there. Yeah, that'll be a good discussion with the city attorney's office. Beyond that, No real concern about that or some, okay. you know, this is longstanding policy that's been around for decades. We actually, in the comprehensive plan, has had policies yeah. recognizing the APZ. There's impacts on folks who live in that area that get recognized in the plan that we want to be somewhat upfront and honest about, I think, to tell you the truth. I mean, we talk internally. It's one of those funny things where we've had discussions usually in, like, the South Tacoma element of the comp plan, so it's, like, buried way down deep. About what this area is, and yet the zoning has never really reflected that, which lots of jurisdictions do, and at some level it's just a way to say, hey, FYI, because really the restrictions aren't, considering the existing development pattern, they're not going to be that dramatic. We're not going to make, yeah. Right. So.
Anna?
I'm also noticing, unless I'm wrong, that Bates Technical College South Campus is within that area.
I don't think it goes over far enough.
You don't think it goes over far enough?
I don't think it comes up quite that far.
It's like a block or two off.
Which is why I think a good accounting of what's in it.
Sure. I'd be happy to do that.
Excellent to have.
I can do that.
my concerns really have to do with, the impacts.
I wish I didn't.
That it's going to have on people.
But
I understand nobody wants a plane crashing into their house.
And I imagine the impacts, I mean, it sounds more expansive than it probably is actually going to be, but we haven't closed the door and everything, so I just wanted to be straightforward about kind of where we are in the process, but realistically, I don't think it's going to impact people very much at all.
Okay.
Any other questions for Lauren? Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Had to get a Trump. Mr. Atkinson must be worried about what question I'm going to ask him.
The new
like
planning regime.
What are we talking about?
I thought you were going to miss today. I didn't see you when we started.
I know.
I was worried.
Welcome, Steve.
Thank you.
And show.
All right, let's see. Okay, so thank you for having me here this evening. I also hope to be done in 10 minutes or less. Enough with the peanut gallery. This isn't the Muppet Show. Sorry. You brought up, okay. Let's get serious.
Not helping your 10 minutes.
I know. Downtown plan and policy integration. So usually I would start with, what is this project? I think sometimes it's helpful to say what isn't the project as well. So I want to be really clear as we start to go out with commission and the public. This is not a update of the subarea plans. It's not intended to revisit any of the assumptions in the subarea plans or the growth estimates. This is sort of a classic case where as we start to layer different plan elements over time, you get to the end of that process and realize that there were some things that you didn't go back and update to reflect the newer policy decisions that the council has made. And so that's really the starting point. And a lot of this came out of the comp plan update. We were going through and kind of reviewing some of the downtown element that was in the comp plan and just recognizing that it was going to take more legwork to just go through and do some of the documentation and analysis than we could reasonably accomplish while we're also going through a rewrite of the full comp plan. So it's a revisitation. I do think of this a little bit as a fun project, you know, not an emergency, not a dire problem that we are trying to address, but more of a focus on just ensuring that all the parts, all the policies and chapters that we have that speak about what our goals are for the downtown are all on the same page, and that we're representing the whole of downtown and not just the parts of downtown. So that's sort of my starting point with this. We are still in the scoping and assessment page, or scoping and assessment phase of this. There are some key questions that we'll have to ask as we go through about kind of evaluating the consistency, thinking about the organization, what do we want to do with the downtown element? And I'll talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes, as well as representing, again, the downtown as a whole and not just as the character areas or as the different downtown sub-area plan boundaries. And there will be, I'll speak a little bit more at the end, there will be more that we'll need to do to get really a full sense of the scope before we get to the final assessment. So I wanted to just highlight graphically with some maps some of the issues that we're looking at that I think exemplify some of the consistency, organization, and representation issues that we're looking at. So this is from 2004, from the downtown element of the comprehensive plan. So you can see, as we talked about last year, Knob Hill was not part of the downtown. The Dome District was not, the AFOS. So it started out as a more constrained area within the downtown. Fast forward to, I believe this was 2008, 2010 time period, and the downtown is starting to expand. This is for the Downtown Regional Growth Center for PSRC and Vision 2040. The boundaries start to change, include the FOSS, Dome District, Knob Hill. While Hilltop and Stadium were included in the Regional Growth Center, they were still considered separate from downtown. And then with the downtown sub-area plans, we started arriving at more of all of these districts comprising downtown in its entirety. So we arrived at that through the comprehensive plan and tried to document that process. So on the one hand, it's a fairly straightforward thing to say the boundaries have changed. You know, now the downtown element that we have in the comp plan still really represents just this dark gray. Sub-area plans in the comp plan use the expanded gray, so there's an inconsistency there. But as we start to then try to unpack, you know, what does some of that mean, there are some issues that come up, and one of them is on street typologies and streetscape design. So in the comprehensive plan, we have designated corridors that were based on the complete streets work that was done around 2008, and each of these designations includes goals and policies associated with those streets and the intent that we have for the design of those streets. And you can see when it gets to downtown, those designations stop. And within downtown, we have a specific typology that was in the plan and also some modifications to the complete streets typologies that were done through the sub-area plans. So it starts to get a little bit messier about how all those things relate once you start to fit them together. And this was sort of an early effort to try to just what is designated in the sub-area plans, what is designated in the downtown element, do they fit, do they use the same terminology? No, they often don't. So again, the core of the downtown, the old downtown boundary, uses its own set of street typologies. The Hilltop used more of a modification of the complete streets design typologies. So some of it is just fitting this, again, together to say, we're not just planning for the parts, we're planning for the whole. If a street is transit priority in Hilltop, is it or should it continue to be transit priority as it enters the rest of downtown? Or, you know, is that an issue that we need to take a look at? So, again, that's where I can say right now that what we're recognizing is there's sort of an issue we need to delve into to take a look at. What I can't say yet is what some of those specific policy choices are that the commission will have to review and make some recommendations on. The other is not necessarily that inconsistency of, you know, some streets designated, some streets not in the different areas. In the case of open space, I think this just shows some of the representation. It's not necessarily a consistency. It's not a problem. It's not a contradiction. But the north downtown includes its own open space map and open space projects. South Downtown includes its own mapped for South Downtown. Hilltop includes its own. So again, it's if someone were to ask, what is the open space plan for downtown? All of these maps are currently adopted and present in the plans, but there's not one location where you can go and find a map of downtown and the entirety of the open space that's planned. So that, to me, is more of a representation. How do we tell the story of what we're trying to accomplish in downtown? And then, again, as we go through that, we can take a look and see if there are projects that were identified in one area but weren't captured in another map, because these plans were done sequentially. So we will want to check in and just see if anything changed from start to finish through those adoption processes. And then lastly, the plan integration, and we have some choices on how to do this. So during the comp plan update, we did start to carve out a downtown focus within the different chapters. So the urban form chapter, the economic development chapter, start to have sections that speak more directly at just the downtown regional growth center. So if somebody wanted to know what are the policies about the downtown regional growth center, as you go through the comp plan, it specifically calls out policies that pertain really to that geography. But again, it where we got it into urban form and started to do that through economic development, it wasn't something that we were able to accomplish for arts, for historic preservation, for all the elements in the comp plan. The other option we have on the table, so the first is, you know, the policies in the downtown element could be integrated more fully into the rest of the comprehensive plan and those chapters. The second is we could keep a separate downtown element, so it's standalone, just like it is today, but scale it back and really have a discussion about what really needs to be in there, what in that needs to be in the subarea plans. The third option is you could just do more to integrate it into the subarea plans and just say, that's the subarea plan. That contains all of the goals and policies for the downtown. So certainly different approaches that we can take to that organization and where to locate the different elements. As I mentioned, we do need to do a more detailed policy audit to just go through the entirety of the downtown element and do some comparison back and forth and say, are there pieces that are still there that we need to keep because the subarea plans referenced back, or are there things that were superseded or replaced through the downtown subarea plans? Again, I think the type of organization, the earlier we can sort of make some decisions about how to proceed with that, the easier it'll be, because it'll compound a lot of work through this if we start changing how we want to tackle this project. And then lastly, the final assessment and work program, as we talked about in April. So we would like to come back with a little bit more detail on what level of work we really think it'll take to get this done. I'm not sure today if I could speak to like how much work this is going to entail. So we'll need to get there. And then I think, just to be frank, right now we're proposing to sort of keep this in the discussion for the 17-18 work program. The wild card that we're sort of waiting for right now is the private applications. So when we get to that final assessment in April and we talk about what's really going to move forward for the next amendment, we'll have the private applications and we'll be able to consider some of these projects in relation to whatever workload we think it'll take to get the private applications done. So the key, I think, some discussion points, at least at this part of the process, is one, we're just trying to establish the need for the project, that we think that there is a valid reason to move forward with it. It's not an attempt to change city policy or reinterpret city policy, but rather just do a better job of conveying and showing the consistency of what the current adopted policy is. And I think one of the questions for the commission is, you know, from my standpoint, I think the idea of integrating as much of the actionable items that are in the downtown element into the subarea plans would be one approach that I think would make a lot of sense. So if there are specific strategies or actions that make sense in more of an implementation document, and I think that's consistent with what we've been doing the last couple of years, to put those into the subarea plans. And then where there are clearer goals and policies that are high level in the element, to start to integrate those into the chapters of the comprehensive plan. I think that's probably the approach that I would take to start off with. But I wanted to just ask that question of the commission about whether or not you think, you know, there's sort of a power to having the chapters based on the topics that you're trying to address and recognizing downtown within that. But I can also see the perspective that sometimes, you know, there's a sort of a, you know, a power that comes along with, but you have your own element. It's its own chapter. So I'm not sure if I see at this time a need for that, but that's one question I think certainly for the commission. And then lastly, I think other means of telling the story of the downtown plan. And again, to kind of come back to that representation point, it may not be as much in the end a policy update, but also an evaluation of what other, whether it's websites, whether it's videos or other media and communications approaches that we can take to tell that story of the whole of downtown and not just the parts. We've adopted the Sudbury plans. Now, to some degree, it's a matter of how we want to tell that story and to make that really communicable to the public. So I'll leave it there. I'm not sure if that was 10 minutes. I hope so. Dorian's internal clock is very strong.
In my head and heart, it said a full hour. So
yeah.
go ahead. Give it a clock.
So I would be, I would be happy to at least take a look before we get to the assessment phase to look at a little bit more of an outline of the organization options that we have, because I just know making a decision early on that of how to proceed makes a big difference in terms of not losing things, not making it really confusing for folks to follow what it is that we're trying to do, and to start identifying what buckets things fall into. Any strong opinions one way or the other? Is this all?
Not sure if I'd characterize it as a strong opinion. The question that I'd be looking at this point, we had a lot of community, citizen, and stakeholder involvement in putting together the three sub-area plans. And however this goes forward and however that if it gets repackaged or just the same package with a prettier bow on it, as long as the folks who committed so much time and effort to be present in those plans, and I'm particularly thinking North Downtown and Hilltop, because those are the two that the commission were most actively working on since I joined, there were a lot of folks involved, and we would not want them to feel that any of their stuff was left behind in a repackaging or a retelling of the story, that their story should be visible in this. So how you do that, I don't know the answer, but that's the only thought about this, that wouldn't want to lose their involvement.
No, and that's a great point. One of the strategies, just to be quite frank, is to limit how much we actually end up touching the Sudbury plans themselves. And so I think that's why I'm trying to focus on, you know, the element itself or what we could communicate in the comprehensive plan about the Sudbury plans. To go back to the open space example, it would be fairly straightforward to include a section in the open space, you know, in the Parks and Recreation element that shows the park and rec map for downtown and any specific policies that pertain to parks and recreation within the downtown. But I also want to be very cognizant of, I think, your caution that anytime we start playing with this, given the process we went through to adopt those plans, no matter how much I try to say it's a cleanup, it's just, massaging things a little bit, it may reopen some issues or be an avenue as well for folks to want to, you know, reopen discussions that maybe they felt were never settled either.
Similar to like the mixed-use center study that
seemed to give. Exactly. I mean, not everyone was on the commission at the time, but I do compare this a lot to the work that we did on like the Theophos plan when we were going through and just trying to make sure that as we were creating a new shoreline public access plan that we weren't losing critical elements of the other five public access plans that had been developed historically in the city of Tacoma before that. So that's the kind of comparison I'm making in this case. I'm not necessarily proposing to unify all three Sudbury plans into one document, but just find a way to better represent how they are all adding up. if that makes sense.
Yeah,
hopefully. Sense. All right.
Okay, Steve.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have one really quick question. Mm-hmm. I've just been looking at the map. Does the plan, does the area actually cover all the way around the Wheeler Osgood?
It does.
That seems super strange to me because Wheeler Osgood, I mean, is really extending into a fairly industrial area. So I was just...
Yeah, that's that is based because the between basically all the way up to 11th, mm-hmm. The east side of the Foss Waterway is part of the Thea Foss Shoreline District, which is mixed use.
Sure.
So it's part of the downtown. So yeah, it does include and wrap around and include that east side of the Foss. Mm-hmm. And again, that's just another caution that the east side of the Foss, whenever we start to talk about policies and fly over there, it opens up a lot of debate about,
right?
Yeah, about past policy decisions and whether or not folks still continue to agree with those past policy decisions.
Well, and it was interesting because the North Downtown Subarea Plan doesn't include the northern portion of the east side of the Foss.
Yeah,
There's some. Yeah,
and I think that was in part because of the way that we got the grant funds. That in doing South Downtown, I think there was a desire to include the entirety of the West Foss at a minimum because we had that grant funding at the time. Mm-hmm. So it did end up as a somewhat unique checkerboard boundary.
Oh, just curious.
Yeah.
That discussion about that northern portion of the Foss was like shuddering, thinking about when we had so many discussions during shoreline update about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. We may not want to rehash, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We flew through this agenda. So, communication items.
So, I think this is not the first time that I've asked for a volunteer for this, but just a quick update. We're receiving applications now, statements of interest. We've already started having pre-application meetings. So that means that it becomes more urgent that we get our committee in place. We're meeting next week to finalize committee members. I need one person from Planning Commission to volunteer to be on the review committee. So
like you have more than one person who wanted to do it.
So. Yes, I do have more than one person who wants to do it, so we just need to make a final determination.
Maybe raise your hands if you were... No. I think it was Jeff and Jeremy and Steve.
Oh, we can do it
all.
I'm no longer available to do it. No.
Can you walk back through exactly what that looks like?
Yeah. Sure. So... So I'm trying to think about how many applications I think are... There's a flurry because the application deadline closes on Friday, so I'm sure I need to get a lot of people calling. I think realistically, for across all four project types, we'll maybe have between 15 and 20.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a nice... I'm actually pleased. I mean, it's almost all DADUs.
Good.
I mean, that's not surprising.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so... What I'm having people do is, and I've been kind of betting this and encouraging people to put together a package that will present well to the review committee, and I'll be helping people with that over the next month and a half. I haven't made a final determination, but I'm leaning towards people not being present because I don't want to give people an unfair advantage if they can come to present and others can't. So I'm probably just going to compile them into a PowerPoint and then have handouts. And then the review committee will vote in categories of types. So DADUs will get a vote, and cottage housing will get a vote, and all those things. We'll vote on the merits of each project. So even if there's only one or two in a category, if they don't pass muster, then we will not approve any of them. So I'm hoping that I can get it down to a 3 to 4 hour time period to get through them all. Since there's going to be visual components and all of those things, I imagine it may be fairly difficult to go any faster than that. So it's like a one-day commitment, half-day commitment.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll respond. I think I would be wise to retract my
interested. It's not outside of the realm of possibility that I'm in one of those projects. So,
oh, okay.
So I think I need to probably step back from that.
Okay.
Brett, were you interested?
You know, I am interested. If we have other people interested, I'm fine bowing out or being an alternate if it goes forward with further need. I also think that I might know one of the applicants. So.
So, Jeremy, you were interested too?
I am interested.
Okay.
And you don't have any other, nobody that you know or are working with is going to apply?
Not that
sounds like the winner.
Well, either that or we can arm wrestle for it. I mean,
yeah.
It's up to you guys.
Yeah, we have some time to kill, right?
You seem some arm wrestling. Seen Brett's arm.
All my strength is in my legs.
Okay. Nice. Okay, well, I mean, if everybody's okay with that, I guess, Jeremy, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for the interest. It's an important project, so.
Yeah. Great, thank you.
Okay.
Is it possible for you to share that list with us after you've gone through it, after the committee has seen it? Just to be curious. Because it's something I'm very interested in, but my company's, you know, applying for one of them.
I can make it available as soon as we close.
Sure.
Actually, so it'll be before the review committee.
Because I think we're going to
go. Yeah.
I think it would just be really interesting for us to see what this has drummed up and whether, you know, where the interest lies in different categories.
Yeah. And just really quickly, what I'd love to say about this process is that it's just been so diverse. I mean, it's been diverse in every possible way. Budgets are diverse. Locations in town are diverse. Project diversity, like I said, it's been clustered in DADUs, but within that, it's like garage conversions, new garage carriage houses, and then the reasons why. I have people who have, you know, an autistic child that they want to make space for. I have people whose mother-in-laws are going to be coming. I have people who have a home business in their home and need a place to get away in the back. I mean, it's just like every possible reason why. And cottage housing also has been all over town too. So it's been really great,
good.
Really good stuff. Without kind of steering, it's naturally just been, I think, what we wanted to see.
Cool.
So
we'll definitely be coming back to you.
Absolutely.
At least a couple times to report in on sort of where we're at and what some of the findings are as we move forward.
Cool. Yeah, and also,
do you guys plan on publishing like the number of applications, like a press release or something like that, as you move through it?
Sure, yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah, and as I say, one other thing, I don't know what the feeling is, and maybe you can kind of give guidance. I'm happy to come back to you before the review committee if that's of interest. That might be much more interesting than the list.
I guess the only caveat I'd have on that is, depending on the level of connection between people around this table with the applicant list, in order to ensure that it doesn't look like we as a commission are weighing in. And if we did that, then I think we would have to ask Meredith and Jeremy to recuse themselves and not be in the room during the discussion.
Or it could just be, maybe, I don't know if it's allowed, but maybe close comments. So, like, literally, I just show you, and then that's
whatever. I just raised that point. I mean, nothing against my colleagues, just to make sure that we stay as up and up, because this is a pilot. We want it to be super squeaky clean.
Keep the integrity.
Yeah.
I think so.
How about if we just,
I mean, in my mind, there's, you know, we can obviously share whatever, but I do want to make sure, I mean, the Planning Commission recommended and Council adopted this review committee mm-hmm. concept, and so I don't want to have the Planning Commission sort of de facto become an extra review body.
Right.
So we can share some information. There will certainly be some stuff online, and I think maybe the most viable thing is to come back once the review committee has made that initial determination, and we can share what moved on and everything that didn't move on.
Then, I think that would be great. Then I think then we're safe.
Steven.
Awesome. Thank you. Quick communication item. We have our first Planning and Development Services forum coming up on February 13th at Downing Elementary from 6 to 8 p.m. That will be followed by additional meetings in, March, April, and May at Meeker, First Creek, and Gray Middle School. So we're looking at this as an opportunity to get all of Planning and Development Services out interacting with our community groups. We've invited neighborhood councils, business districts, and a lot of civic organizations that we communicate with. There'll be some Facebook ads and things like that happening as well. But I encourage all of you to attend one of the meetings near you. Part of what this is really intended to do is to just really help demystify, especially the beginning of our new amendment process, sort of coming from a recognition that during the last time when we did area-wide rezones, that by the time we got to the end of the process and people were getting notified, they had a lot of questions about, you know, what is zoning, what is a rezone, what process, who decides, what information is used. So we wanted to start doing more as a department to improve our communication with the public. This is a first try at doing that in person, so there'll be folks from all of our divisions to talk about how to get permits, what permits can you get. It's not so scary, and it's not so hard, so please come in and get your permits, as well as training on what resources we have on the website so people can find out land use notices, what's happening in their neighborhood, how they can find information on the area-wide rezones that we're looking at as part of the next work program. So some of it will be information sharing as well as training on how to find information and how to use that through the process for the public. So I'm excited about this. I'll be very interested to see how many people come and attend, and then also to ask feedback from the folks that do attend on, you know, what worked well, what things they learned at the event that they didn't know before, and get a good measure on how well we're actually reaching folks. Cool. So, and I'd be happy to just follow up maybe with an invite for all of you. So if you want to share that information to groups that you work with, that you're familiar with, that you might that you think might be interested, that you can do that as well.
So who is, I know we've talked about this a couple of times, and we're trying to coordinate at some level with City Council as well, but one of our interests is certainly to have planning commissioners or a planning commissioner or whatever there could be part of the introduction welcome. That I mean, Downing is sort of North End, West End. I don't know which members are North End and West End, but we would love to have somebody. I don't know if anybody's thought about it yet or has it on their schedule, but please let us know if somebody's going to be there and potentially could help raise the hand and say hi and thank you. And, you know, when they say, who the heck is that planning commission and what silly, crazy things do they do, we got somebody to point at. I mean, no. You know, just part of, you know, we're going to have the director there talking about things. And, like I say, hopefully we'll have council members as well to be part of that. Thank you, welcome kind of piece. But
are you going to have food there?
There will be food.
There will be food.
Because that's
good,
there will
be
food. Yeah.
Good question.
Because, you know, if you're in the world, there's a better possibility. But I know sometimes it's geographically based.
What are we going to have? Lumpia?
Well, if I can get the Lumpia people to call us back.
Oh, they won't call us back.
They don't. I guess they don't want to do business with us. But
they liked us last time.
They'd go to Downing?
We just picked it up last time.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, they've done events for us before, which is why I'm just surprised that they haven't been as receptive. But no, they've done really nice and given us sort of like, you know, if you buy four, you get another platter and a really good mix of options. So if not that, my fallback is empanadas, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, hopefully.
You get which are also good. From fucking. I went to a thing recently.
What did you just say?
What? Where somebody sliced them up sort of smaller. They had them slice them up smaller and they're like...
Okay. Oh,
this is just
meeting.
Thank you.
Right?
Ooh,
hi. got a quick question. When's do you guys know when the Bruce Creek meeting will be?
I can just check the website and talk to you after.
How many are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing one each month, so we can sort of recalibrate if things are going well or not at each meeting and try to make some improvements. And then the thought is we would like to start doing something on a more regular basis, even if it's quarterly or, you know, twice a year, and move it around throughout the city. So this is sort of a, you know, learning experience for a lot of our staff on how to actually get out to the public and talk about the things that they do and why they do it.
First Creek is Monday, May 8th.
I'm north in there, and I'm planning on going to it, too.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I'm planning on being there, so.
Unless I get a better
We'll have a whole group of you to stand up and say hi.
It is the 13th of February.
Suddenly I'm thinking, like, quorum.
Yeah, you might have a quorum. We can't talk.
You'll have to post each in the corner.
Not to each other.
Well, could we just put out, like the city council does, put out an announcement saying that planning commissioners have been invited, that, but they won't be conducting planning commission business? Then if everyone shows up, everyone can show up.
I don't think that will be an issue because city council faces this kind of questions all the time. They are in their weekly letters. They are being invited to all sorts of events across town, and our legal counsel had advised way back when that this is an open invitation to council, commission, or groups, and whoever comes. And so there's no intended convening of a meeting. And if you see all your colleagues all together, you just don't want to stand together and have a meeting. And you'd be fine. So basically, we're covered. Sure. Yep.
Just don't make it look like we're having a meeting.
Why are they huddled in the corner all this
Okay. Anything else from staff?
Do you have anything?
Just one quick thing.
Go ahead.
Your next meeting on February 15th, in addition to Tacoma Mall area plan and Hilltop links to opportunity presentations, we plan to bring a representative or two from the Sustainable Tacoma Commission to have a dialogue with you. This is a continuation of your dialogue series with citizens groups. We have featured three neighborhood councils. This will be the fourth one, and we are outreaching the other five neighborhood councils to see if they would like to do that, and so we'll keep you posted. Thank you.
So just a couple things. One, last week, obviously, there was council vacancy, and council did appoint Lauren Walker, former council member Lauren Walker, to fill that open seat temporarily, essentially, for the next 11 months. So I know Commissioner Neal was part of that process. I'm sure she very much enjoyed it.
It's very interesting.
Next one, private applications. Steve mentioned briefly, we don't know exactly. We only have one in so far officially in. Has to do with a car wash in the Narrows Mixed Use Center. I can't remember exactly how they characterized their application, but that's what the proposal is. And then there is some discussions going on. We've heard questions about height limits in certain residential zoning districts, potentially, and we've also heard lots of discussions going on in Northeast Tacoma about potential requests for modifications on how the whole transition between the port and Northeast Tacoma is dealt with. So some of which are bigger than others, and so depending on what comes in and what doesn't could have a significant effect on our work program. So, and then the last reminder is, since it was mentioned, the 13th is coming up soon. Hey, the 14th is Valentine's Day. So for those of you that it matters, don't forget, right? It was a good reminder for me. So.
Anything else from the queue?
May I make an announcement? So I think a couple commissioners know this, Pierce County government has gone through a reorganization process, and the county's planning department and public works department have now been merged. So I'm now a manager in the combined planning and public works. And that is what it is. But as part of
congratulations,
that,
right? Oh,
but yeah. Well, but as part of that, I have taken on a new responsibility for at least the next 3 months. Hopefully not much longer than that. In addition to managing our Sustainable Resources Division, which is the county's waste reduction, recycling, environmental education, and code enforcement program, I'm also going to be the administrator for the county's ferry system and their two airports. So I'm going to be the interim airport and ferry division manager. It sounds really exciting, but basically, my job is going to be managing leases is what that job does. So, but I'll be doing that. So, I'm going to be doing both jobs. So, I'm not going to be volunteering to do a lot of extra stuff.
Don't you at least get to go, like, drive the ferry a little bit?
I don't get to drive the ferry. I don't get extra frequent flyer miles. Someone asked me that.
I thought that was a weird question.
I mean, but I did volunteer for this. This was not something. It was.
So I was hopeful you were going to say I just got designated as a planning director or something.
This is kind of cool. I mean, it would be something different to do, and they're two really good teams, and hopefully they'll make my life not hell.
Congratulations. I'm sure it's more responsibility and less pay, right?
So there is no more pay and don't expect me to volunteer for a lot of stuff over the next couple months. Thank you.
From commissioners, not all accept a motion.
End the meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.